Acts chapter number 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And I won't have the time to read or teach and preach through verse 6 through 13, but I think it's worth noting that right out of the chute, there was direct satanic opposition to what they were going to do. They immediately run into a sorcerer, a tool of Satan, who begins to stand in their way. But you know what? Right away they learned that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so we're going to talk about this great attribute of the abounding church in the book of Acts. This is what we're going to preach on. One of the ingredients that was there in this early church was this: missionary endeavors into unreached areas. Missionary endeavors into unreached areas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would help us, please. Use tonight, Lord, to further stir a heart, the hearts of a church that I believe have already been stirred over this matter of missions. Lord, please fan the flame. Help us never to get content. Help us to never feel like we're doing enough. Help us to understand the need is great. And I would ask, Lord, that you would use this church, Lord, to be an Acts 1:8 type of a church, Lord, a both type of a church. And I pray, Lord, as we develop these thoughts tonight, that you'll help us and encourage us in our missionary efforts. We pray in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Sometimes I'll go to a church about our size and I'll see that they are supporting about half the missionaries or less than we are. I'll get to feeling good about where we're at, and then I'll sometimes go to a church about the size of ours and I'll see that they're supporting twice as many missionaries as we have, and then I wonder if we're doing what we ought to do. I guess I said that to say this: I don't know whether to say that we're where we ought to be, we're ahead of where we ought to be, or we're behind from where we ought to be, but I am glad that our church is mission-minded. I'm thrilled that we're at this time supporting 54 different missionary efforts to get the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I'd be excited about that if I was a member of this church. We'll have, I believe, hit right around the $75,000 mark. And by the way, folks, this isn't tithes and offerings. This isn't offerings. This is missions giving by Blessed Hope Baptist Church. If we stay on track, if we're doing what I believe we'll do with some of the extra gifts, we'll somewhere be around $75,000 going into missions this year. And again, I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's bad. I don't know if we're where we ought to be, behind or ahead. But I feel like we're where our church is. But I don't want us to ever think that, you know what, that's enough. I want us to stay stirred over this idea of worldwide missions. And certainly when we go to the book of Acts and we study the attributes of the abounding church in the book of Acts, one of the things that's undeniable is these early churches were fully invested in missionary efforts. They were not just invested in missionary efforts in the sending of their money, even though the local assembly supported this. But they sent more than money. They were willing to send their own. And I am haunted by what I heard Bill Dutry say to me one day. He said, most independent fundamental Baptist churches are willing to send almost anything to the mission field except their own children. And I haven't been able to get away from that statement. And I'm not saying it's God's will for everyone to go to the mission field and that every young person that's raised in this church ought to be a missionary, but I certainly hope that we create an environment, and not only in our church but in our homes, where our young people would be open to that, consider it that, and if it happened, would consider it a great privilege to be able to do something like that for the Lord. And so we must stay missionary-minded. We must stay burdened for a world that is in great need of Jesus Christ. Every missionary letter that comes into this church, your pastor does not just open it and throw it in a pile somewhere. I read it, I pray over it, I think about it. I want to stay burdened about what's going on in our missionaries' lives. I want to stay excited about the victories. I want to stay mad about the setbacks. Let me tell you something. You don't ever have to ask the preacher, is it all right if I do something a little extra for a missionary? The answer is yes, 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 yes. I want missionaries to come through here, both those that we already support and those that we're coming through that we're considering or listening to. I want them to always walk away from Blessed Hope Baptist Church saying, wow, what was that? You know, my goodness sakes, from the youngest child to the oldest saint, we were made to feel like honored guests, because I really have a huge respect for young families, old families. They're all in between. Some people are going to the mission field in their senior years. They really are. Or in their middle age years, they've raised their children, and now they want to go to the mission field. And I just honestly feel humbled when I get to spend a little time in their presence. Because in a day of such selfishness and such an unwillingness for the average Christian to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus, sometimes it's just good to rub shoulders with somebody that at some point went to an altar and said, God, whether here in my local assembly or in the farthest location from this spot, wherever you would call, wherever you would lead, I would go. And then to have the right dynamics in that family, for a wife to support that, for children to support that, for them to do it as a family unit with a heart for God. I'm going to tell you something. It's a wonderful thing when you see God perform that kind of a work in a family's life. I want to just cover some things in this. Not that I feel like we are not doing this, but I want us to keep this in our hearts. I want us to think constantly about what we could do even more. I've already said this to you, but thank you for giving to missions. Thank you for making promises, making commitments, staying with those commitments, giving. It enables us to do what we do for our missionaries. Now, let me just teach you some things from the Word of God. You'll notice here that in a local assembly, a church that was in Antioch, there became a gathering of men. The Bible identifies them as prophets and teachers. But there became a gathering of some men of God along with the local assembly. By the way, read and study the Church of Antioch. That was an exciting church in the book of Acts. This was the place where the community, not the church. The church didn't come up with this name for themselves. The community watched their activity, watched their lives, listened to how they talked, watched what they did, and they began to call them Christians. The believers were called Christians first at Antioch. I don't know if that was meant to be derogatory, but I think it was the greatest title and the greatest compliment that a group of believers could ever receive. Hey, those people are a bunch of Jesuses, little Jesuses. They're like Jesus. And so this was a popping, happening church activity. Souls were being saved. I believe there were, God brought to that place a lot of full-time workers. He brought Saul, who was to become Paul, to this church. And this is where literally Saul cut his ministry teeth. This is where he rubbed shoulders with the giants of the day and learned and grew and developed, helped getting prepared him for what he was going to be. This was an exciting church. And here we see, first of all, some things concerning the missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, that left this church to take the first of what would be several missionary trips, missionary endeavors. And I want to just go through this portion of Scripture and let us learn some things from the Bible about the missionaries here. Look in verse number 2, if you will. It says, as they ministered to the Lord, this is talking about these men that were listed in verse 1, and I believe the assembly there in Antioch, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Let me say this, I believe with all my heart that these missionaries were Holy Spirit called. Holy Spirit called, Holy Ghost called. I believe in the call to the ministry. I believe in the call to preach. I believe in the call to the mission field. I've heard attacks against the call. I've heard people say there's no such thing as a call, probably because they've never heard it. But I promise you, the Holy Spirit does at times specifically, individually, separate men for unique ministry. And there are missionaries who will. There are young men, young ladies. There'll be people that feel a burden, and a burden develops into a call, and a call becomes persistent and refuses to go away until it's answered. But this call is very real. God orchestrates it. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, that member of the triune God that lives inside of a person. And young people, you ought to always be tender to that, always be open to that, because the Holy Spirit of God may call you to be a missionary. These missionaries were Holy Spirit called. Let me say this quickly. I believe this, that the missionaries also were Holy Spirit confirmed. Now look up here, church, and let me talk to you about this. It's interesting that this was not and did not just come from the hearts of Barnabas and Saul. Are you listening, church? I need some men in this church to listen real carefully and to get some spiritual wisdom, spiritual discernment, and help the preacher here. I'm going to tell you something I began to do in the last about 18 months that I didn't do before in my ministry. Let me tell you what I've begun to do when it comes to missionaries calling me. Listen carefully to this. I think a lot of times I see Christians that are called or that want to come to tell me that they are called. But the Holy Spirit did not just speak to them. The Holy Spirit spoke to the church about them. And I think sometimes we don't... You know, I really feel like I've not picked up on this. I've failed in this in some ways, so I've shorted up. So many times I think when somebody comes and says, I'm called, everybody just says, well, then they must be called. But can I say this? I've seen a lot of things in 25 years of ministry. I'm just going to be very transparent with you here. I'm just talking, okay? Sometimes I think when somebody comes and surrenders and says they're called, we act as if we don't have any say in that. Amen. Let's let that just settle in a little bit. You say, well, Brother Jerry, what do you mean? I mean, if the church votes on it and they vote that they're not called, they're not called? No, but I will say this. God didn't just speak to Barnabas and Saul. God spoke to the local assembly. The Holy Spirit confirmed in the hearts of these wise, godly men that these men should be separated unto the ministry. These men then, in verse number 6, it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And I believe this. I believe that along with the personal call of God upon an individual, God confirms in the hearts of those in authority in that assembly and godly men in that assembly whether or not that call is just a fanciful idea of that individual or there is a Holy Spirit confirmation in the hearts of those that know them, have watched them, have worked with them, have served with them. Yes, I believe the Holy Spirit of God is doing something unique and in a unique way, separating this person for the ministry. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm making the call to preach a voting matter. But I believe this. I believe that in my heart, I'm going to say it. Yeah, I'm just going to say it. I've had people come to me and say, you know what, God's calling me to preach. And inside of my heart, buddy, I have the Holy Spirit of God inside of me too. I know the individual. And you know, immediately inside of my heart, there is no confirmation. There's just the opposite of that. I think to myself, oh no. Or why in the world? Or you won't even show up to soul winning. You won't even tithe. But all of a sudden you want to trot up to me and tell me you're what? See, I'm going to tell you something. You talk to my dad over the years, and you know what? You know, my dad said to me, he said, Jerry, you know, 7 months before you were called to preach, I knew God was stirring and doing something unusual and preparing you, and it did not surprise me at all. You know why? Because that was my preacher. It wasn't just my dad, that was my preacher. This is good for us. You know, I think one of the reasons we've got people into the ministry that aren't serious about the ministry, aren't really called in the ministry, is because we sometimes just feel like the church, the local assembly, has no say in it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to ordain you if I don't have the Holy Spirit bearing witness in my heart that you're truly called to what you say you're called. You can go on trotting off and do whatever you want, anywhere you want to do it, but it isn't going to happen in my heart. If it's not happening in my heart, I'm sorry. I'm just saying I love you and God bless you. And I'm not saying I wouldn't reconsider down the road. But brother, there's no fruits to this. There's no Holy Spirit bear witness. And I wouldn't want to make that decision even individually. I'd probably pull in some wise men in our church and say, "Folks, guys, listen to me. If I'm missing something, tell me." It's not that I want to hold anybody back. It's not that I don't want to get behind somebody that's true. But this thing, listen, enough game playing in the ministry. This isn't a toy to be played with. When I walked forward as a 17-year-old man, young man in this church and surrendered to preach, buddy, it wasn't in the back of my mind, well, I'll try this and see how it works out. And, you know, if it doesn't, I can always, you know, go get a job. No. It was, this is what I must spend my life doing. No turning back, no turning back. And if I do, God just put me in a grave somewhere. I mean, you know what? And you know what? Men of God put their stamp of approval on it. Men of God. I'm not talking about just preachers. Men of God in this church said, you know what? We see the evidences of it. We see the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. We feel the confirmation of the Holy Spirit in our lives about it. Let's separate him to the gospel ministry. And so I want to say that. I mentioned a minute ago. You know what I've started doing? Missionaries want to call me. And they want to come. I say, okay, send me your material. I never book anybody without looking at all their packet and everything and praying about it and deciding all this stuff. And I started this a while back. You know, a lot of times where their letters come from is, and I might as well mention this now because I'm going to get into it, but the missionaries were local church sent. Local church sent. So what a time, well, a lot of times in a packet, you know what I've got? I've got a bunch of letters from people that from the Bible college they went to. Or letters from a mission board. I'll give you my opinion on that in a few minutes here. But you know what I always want to find out? Always, if I don't have it in the packet, I call them and say, what church did you grow up in? What church did you surrender to preach in? Give me your pastor's name. Give me your pastor's name. But anybody can show up to Bible college, throw a suit on, go to classes, shout hallelujah in chapel. I want to talk to his preacher. And boy, I've got some of the most shocked responses. You cannot believe what the conversations I've had. First of all, they're shocked that somebody had enough sense to call the home preacher. You know, first thing I said, brother, I've got this packet. I found out from this guy that he's from your church. There's no letter in here from you. What's going on? Well, a lot of times they'll say, he just never asked me. That's going to score points with this preacher. You want to get everybody else's name on a piece of paper, but you don't, the man who won your family to Christ and was your home preacher, you're not going to include a letter from him. Something's screwy. How come we're more loyal to the Bible college we graduated from than from the church we were raised in? That's ridiculous. That's crazy. I mean, folks, good night, man. A church puts 18 years in a kid. Bible college puts 4 and forever. They want to be branded and known by the 4 and not the 18. I'm sorry, that don't make any sense. Bible college just finishing school. Okay. Then I say this. This is the question I ask. Preacher, I know you're busy. I don't want to take a lot of your time. I said, I want you to stop and think. I want you to really prayerfully think about what I'm going to say. I'm considering bringing this young man in, present his work, and this is what I'd like you to answer me. If you brought the key spiritual men in your church in a room with you, and I was invited to come in that room with this group, and they have had time to pray and fast before and knew in advance what I was going to ask them and had time to pray and fast about their answer. If I walked in and said to you and the other men that have known this young man and watched him grow up, are you 100% convinced by the Holy Spirit of God that this young man is truly called into the gospel ministry and is capable of doing what he says he's going to go do? And I need you to be ugly honest. I don't want smoke. I don't want you worried about hurting feelings. He'll never know I made this phone call. This will never get back to him, but I need an answer. You would be shocked, Brother Tom, how many times a preacher says, "Preacher, I don't have to pray and fast about it, think about it. I've had doubts about him from day one." And a lot of times what we've done is we've used Bible colleges and mission boards to bypass the thumbs up or the thumbs down. The thumbs up or the thumbs down. I'm just glad I had a thumb out there. I mean, thumbs up or the thumbs down on somebody who wants to say, "I'm called." And yet godly men and a godly pastor sits there and goes, "Well, okay, sure didn't ask me. I don't see it. God bless you." But you know what? They're full of pride and they're going to go do it anyway. You know, if I was you young men, I think I'd just come. If you feel like you're called to anything, I think I'd go in and make a point with your pastor. Listen, please listen to me. I'd make a point with my pastor. I feel like I'm called to do this. If you feel like I am too, call me back in here one of these days and tell me. You say, "Oh, wait a minute, Brother Jerry. You're trying to make yourself this some kind of person that determines." No, I'm just reading the Bible. I'm just teaching what the Bible says right here. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in ministry shouldn't be in the ministry. There's a lot of people heading to the mission field. It's a waste of money. They're lazy in their home church. They'll be lazy on the mission field. They wouldn't preach. They wouldn't go soul winning, but they're going to go win a country to Christ. Sorry, I don't believe it. And you know what? You can go to Bible college, put on a big show, but you know what? Your home pastor and the men of your church really know who you are. I'm not saying a man can't change. I'm not saying a young man can't prove himself. But let him prove himself. Let him prove himself. So missionaries in this Bible were Holy Spirit called. They were Holy Spirit confirmed. The missionaries were local church sent. Let me say a word about mission boards. Mission boards should not usurp authority over the local church. I'm tired of the mission boards, and I've just about stopped bringing missionaries in from certain missions boards that want to act and dictate. A mission board is not there to dictate anything to a missionary. It smacks of the old Baptist denominations. The local church is to lead and direct the missionary. If a mission board thinks they are anything else but an organization there to serve and help equip a called man of God in what God has called him to do and the local church has confirmed that he's called to do, if they think they have any authority, if they come in any way other than just a pure servant ministry organization, of help, let us use our expertise to help you set up your finances. Let's have some backup plans. Let's use wise finance and good advice. But the minute they start saying, "You should go here, you should go here, you shouldn't go here, I think you ought to go here," and they start moving their missionaries around like chess pieces, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in that nonsense. I'm not interested when a Bible college wants to do that. I'm not interested when a pastor that they've only had while they were in Bible college starts doing that. Amen. I'm a little tired of people want to preach that they're local church and preach on local church authority, but you know what? The minute the kid leaves and goes to Bible college, all of a sudden the local church is forgotten. Okay? So the missionaries were Holy Spirit called. They were Holy Spirit confirmed. They were local church sent. I'm going to throw this out to you because I think it's interesting. Look in verse number 5. Can I say this? We have Barnabas and Saul. They're separated. Hands are laid upon them in verse 3. They fasted. They prayed. They laid their hands on them. There was a confirmation, agreeance among the church that these men were truly called. They laid hands on them. They prayed. They sent them. just going to throw this thought out. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but isn't it interesting in verse 5 that there's a third man that went with them? He is not separated unto the ministry. He does not have the church's hands laid upon him. He is not confirmed by the Holy Spirit to be a missionary or a preacher. But you know what? This man, I believe, a layman in the church, just simply walked up and said, you know what? You guys are going to be so busy serving God, it's going to be hard for you to take care of all the details. Why don't you let me come along on this trip? And you know what? I'll make sure that the meals are ready when the meals are going to need to be ready. I'll help us find lodging when we need to find lodging. You know, when we hit town, you can go straight to the synagogue and start preaching. When you get down, I'll have a place for us to stay. I'll take your robes to the dry cleaner. I'll polish your sandals. Amen. You know, I'll work out details. You know, in the ministry, sometimes I think, I'm not going to hire another young preacher. I'm just going to hire a servant. That doesn't want to run off and do whatever. I'm not against that because preachers are preachers. But sometimes a preacher just needs somebody to just say, I'll just come in here every day, preacher, and whatever you need done that day. I don't care if it's wash your car. I don't care if it's... And you can say that I'm a big shot. You can say anything you want to say. But folks, it's amazing how many things, if I'm serving people and serving God, there is no way in the world I can get to. And as much as we'd like to think that there's going to be people step up to do it, you know what? In most cases, it is not done. You folks are busy. You work. You have your own lives. And sometimes I let me just say this. As a preacher, I totally understand that. Here's a thought. What happened if God didn't call you to be a missionary, but you just went ahead and found some missionary and fell in love with him and said, why don't you just let me go to the field with you, and I'm not going to try to be a preacher or lead anything or dictate anything. What I'll do is just make sure that anything you need done, it's done. By the way, why don't you decide to be that kind of person in the local assembly? The honest truth is, folks, men of God are spending way too much time on nickel dime silly stuff. And I can take you to the Bible and prove that it ought not to be so. The apostles, you can criticize, throw rocks, throw stones, you can say anything you want to say. But you know what? The apostles had enough sense to say, you know what? It's silly that we're waiting on tables. It's silly that we're taking groceries to widows. We're supposed to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. We're supposed to do what we're called to do. And you know what? We're glorified errand boys. And so think about that. I believe every church needs a handful of men that just absolutely have a servant heart and have a servant heart towards their pastor and just says, preacher, anything you need, call. Don't do it. If I find out you do it, I'm going to chew you out. Let me help you do things so that I can do so that you can do the things God's called you to do. I think that's a fascinating thought. Now, let me say this. Number 5, missionaries were sent in response, I believe. Say, Brother Jerry, where did this come from? The missionaries in the book of Acts were sent in response to the Great Commission. Now, I want you to flip back, please, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And we've been back there. We've looked at it. Most of you could quote it. I still want your eyeballs to see it. You ought to look at this verse. I read this verse. I don't just memorize. I just don't quote it by memory. I open it up and I look at this verse often. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now this is part of what Jesus said when he was getting ready to ascend into heaven, right before he ascended into the clouds. This is part of the Great Commission speech. We can find part of it in the book of Matthew. We can find part of it in the book of Mark. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here he gives the specifics. He tells them to go to Jerusalem, wait until they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He tells them, once you are Holy Spirit filled, you will become witnesses unto me. I love the word both. I talk about it. I believe most of the philosophy of ministry in this church is built on that word. I believe Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not just supposed to have an effect in our Jerusalem. We're supposed to have an effect in our Jerusalem and both that and our Judea, and both that and our Samaria, and both that into the uttermost parts of the earth. I mean Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This assembly ought to honestly send waves all across the world of different ways we affect all areas. And so that's why I believe that we've got to be careful that we don't become single-minded in one of these areas. Listen to me, church. I know good soul-winning churches that have a huge burden for their own Jerusalem, and all their resources go there, and they have a lousy foreign mission program. I also know churches that have a huge foreign mission program, and they don't have soul-winning in their own church. I know churches that will try to reach their own Jerusalem and some country away from ours, but won't support home missions. Or won't go two counties over and try to help some guy that's struggling a little bit. I believe we need to have an effect in all of these areas. I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to saturate our Jerusalem with the gospel, but I want us also to have a heart enough to look around southern Indiana from time to time and say, let's go help a struggling church somewhere. Let's have an effect in our Judea. This chapel ministry, Brother Clancy's taken over. This is the first of what I hope will be many in my ministry here, in the time that God gives me here. I would love for there to be a day when we look at a map and this is our Jerusalem, but because of our chapel outreaches past our ability to reach a certain circle, all of a sudden in 20 years our influence used to be here, and now the impact that we have for Jesus Christ is in maybe 5, 6, 7 counties instead of just 3 counties. I want you to have a heart for that. I've seen it, churches that become so worried about them. I always say it this way, churches that have the mentality, if it doesn't put a dollar in my plate or a person in my pew, I don't want anything to do with it. They're selfish, they're self-centered, they have a small vision. Listen, folks, it's not about us. It's about a lost world. It's about what kind of effect we can have, not just in our Jerusalem, but in our Judea. Not just in our Judea, southern Indiana, but what about America? I mean, let's help get some churches started in America. I know it may take us 10 years. I understand this. There's so many things, and I don't know what God will let us accomplish, but I'm going to tell you something. I want to continually invest in church planting efforts in states that maybe I've never even been to and never seen, but it's my country. They need the gospel of Jesus. I'm so excited. Man, I'm going to tell you something. You 11 people, you're not going to get anything done the 3 days you're there. You're going to be answering the cell phone because Pastor Jerry is going to be calling you about every 5 minutes going, what's going on, man? What's going on? What have you done? Nothing. You keep calling. Leave us alone. I'm going to tell you, I wish I could be 5 different people sometimes. I love it. I love it. I love it. And God is calling men into the ministry and keeping them right here in the States. And Lord knows, if we don't turn this country, folks, there's not going to be any foreign missions. We have become a mission field. No, America has become a mission field. You want to walk around blinders on and sit around talking about how we're a Christian country, you have no concept of what's going on outside of Greene County. This is not a Christian country. This is a mission field that needs to be reached. There's children that are going all the way up into their teens, going into college, and has never heard the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe they've heard it or seen it written somewhere, but they have no concept of who he is or what he did. And so we have an entire generation that's growing up godless. We need church planters. We need good men going to needy areas. We don't need somebody to start a church in a community where there's already 4 good Bible preaching gospel churches. We need men that'll say, where on the map is nobody gone to give the gospel? And those places exist right here in the United States. Folks, it's shocking how many towns now of 50, 75,000, 100,000 have little or no gospel witness in them in the United States of America. So, what I'm saying here is this. We as a church have to stay tender about this. Young men, young ladies, you surrender to God's will for your life. It doesn't mean God's going to necessarily call you to Africa. I hope you'd be willing to if he did. It may be he wants you to go to another county right here in southern Indiana and say, you know what, I'm going to impact our Judea It may be that God calls you to another state of the United States of America and says, you know what, I'm going to go to a community where there's no gospel witness, and I'm going to go and start a church there. Listen, we've got to stay tender about there. This. What are you saying? I'm saying that the missionaries that were separated and sent, it was done so by this generation because many of these men stood there on the Mount of Olives and listened to Jesus say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that burned inside of them. And that's why constantly while they're planting churches, they're also watching inside of the church for the next one that God would lay their hand upon to be able to send. And we must be willing to send our young people to wherever God would point them, to do whatever He would have them to do. I understand that there's a certain percentage of our young people that will grow up in this church and God will say, yes, I'm going to have you serve in a ministry, but it's going to be this ministry. And let me say this, this preacher always says amen to that. But at the same time, I also have to say, you know what, God, any of them you would take, whatever you would do with them, please use them. Because I believe what I preached this morning. That's not just a fanciful doctrine to pull out every once in a while to stir the church, or because I don't know what else to preach on. I literally live, eat, drink, breathe the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe He is at the door. I'm not sure the doorknob's not turning. And so young people, give your life to something worthwhile. Get the gospel to as many people as you can. Church members, listen, let's not get lazy in this matter of reaching our own Jerusalem, of looking at our neighborhood as a mission field, is looking around saying, God, please, just burden my heart about somebody. I would hope that everybody in this church, as you drive around the community, you've just got a radar going all the time looking for a family that moved in your neighborhood, some children that's out playing in the yard, some address you could give to a bus captain or somebody you could go by and see. Brother Randy told me after we had our prayer time right before, he all excited about this morning. He said, Brother Jerry, God give us 4 new visitors, and one of them got saved this morning on our bus route. He said, I was just out driving around looking and saw some bikes in a yard. Amen! Help us to be so conscious. Because the Great Commission, folks, is just that. It is certainly great, and it is certainly a commission. It's not a suggestion, it's a commission, and we need to be busy about getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out. A couple more thoughts and we'll be done. Missionaries were Holy Spirit called, they were Holy Spirit confirmed, they were local church sent, they were accompanied by a minister. And that means a servant. They were sent in response to the Great Commissions. The missionaries' purpose was to preach Christ, win souls, and establish local churches. Verse 5 said that they went preaching the Word of God. We follow, and I don't take the time to go through all the book of Acts, but the pattern was, go in and preach. By the way, for much of the time, the early missionary journeys, you know what they did? They headed into a community, and they went right to the synagogue. They had a burden for their own people. Thank God for that. But you know what? God began to do the miraculous amongst the Gentiles. And finally, even some of the men surrendered full time to do nothing but preach to the Gentiles. But God wanted everybody to be saved. And you know what? The plan was simple. Preach Christ. Win souls. Establish local churches. Folks, I know you probably know this, but some of you that haven't been in church very long, do you realize most of the epistles, what we call the epistles, the books in the Bible that Paul wrote, are letters to local churches that he established on missionary journeys, writing back, confirming the saints, edifying the saints, challenging the saints, fixing little problems that have developed in their local assembly. Missionaries ought to be church planters. They ought to be church planters. One more thought, and I will end where I started. And we won't teach it, we won't read it. You can do it later. But verse 6 down through 13, missionaries... The missionaries faced satanic opposition. I want to point that out to you because I want to remind us of something. We have a huge obligation at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to pray for our missionaries. I've been on the mission field a few times. We're going to go again the end of this end of October. Me and my wife, the good graces of the church here, is allowing us to go and visit some of our missionaries. Folks, read the letters. Talk to them when they come through. As bad as America is, I believe that there is enough of a remnant in America and enough Christians that we really don't understand what it's like to go to a country where it is just about 100% satanic controlled. We think we're bad, and we are, But you need to talk to these missionaries. I mean, folks, there are satanic strongholds all around this world. And a lot of these sweet young couples are landing, and they're walking into a city that is and has been historically for centuries a satanic stronghold. And if you've never been to a satanic stronghold where, I mean, you, listen, I'm not trying to be creepy, I'm telling you the truth, where you can feel the presence of evil. There's a lot of our missionaries that are suffering maladies, sicknesses. There's a lot of our missionaries that are suffering from stress, depression. Their children are being threatened. Every day, but by the grace of God that helps shore them up, they have to live with some level of fear. And it wears on them. It wears on them. I'm not going to say a lot about it, but I'm going to tell you right now, we need to pray for Luke and Hannah. You don't think the mission field does not break you down and wear you down? Now I'm saying this, folks, we serve a great God. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We don't have to succumb to it. But shame on us if we point a finger of accusation at a missionary that comes back after a couple furloughs, and you know what? Well, what are they doing back? Well, let me ask you something. Have you spent 1 second of your life on your knees calling out their name individually, husband, wife, children, by name, and interceding at the throne of grace for them? If you haven't, you don't have any reason to criticize them at all. Because I really don't think we understand what a lot of our missionaries face every single day of their life. So this is why we have the pictures of the children hanging in the Sunday school room. Sunday school teachers, please don't forget they're hanging there. I know sometimes, you know, it's easy to just, but you know what? If you're going to open the class with prayer, pick out one or two of those kids and pray and remind the children to pray for them. And wives, listen to me. Ladies of the church, why don't you get burdened? Why don't you take two or three or four missionary wives' name? Why don't you get their email address? Why don't you pray for them? Why don't you be an encouragement to their lives? I say this, don't email a missionary and get to email them back and forth and all your emails are telling her all of your problems. She don't need more burdens, okay? Don't be that. Be a blessing. Don't be a burden to them. But honestly, let's hold up their arms. Let's stand in there in the hedge for them. Let's fill the gap for them. Let's pray for them, because there's a great work being done here in the States and around the world, because people are surrendering and going just like they were clear back here in the book of Acts. Somebody told me the other day, well, we're not sending many missionaries out anymore. I said, you need to set my office for about 3 weeks. Because if we're not, there's a bunch of scam artists calling me up wanting to book a meeting. We are sending missionaries right now in droves. They're on deputation trying to get to the mission field. And that's why we got to continually reevaluate and pray and say, God, what more can we do to win the world to Christ? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that I believe all I've done is shored up, encouraged, Lord, a church that already has proven by their sacrifice that they are invested in missions. I hear a lot of people talk the talk. I don't see many walking the walk, Lord. A lot of churches want to promote missions, but they don't want to support missions. And Lord, please help us to not get satisfied and content, or to think we're maybe where we ought to be. Help us to keep all this in balance, Lord. We must continually impact our Jerusalem. We can't become lopsided where we're doing one thing well and the failing at the other areas you've assigned us. So help us to use wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom as I guide in this area, Lord. I want to be sensitive. Where do we need to put resources? Where do we need to maybe send a group to help? What do we need to do? And Lord, I pray that you would, from amongst us, speak to our young people, Lord. Help them to love you so much that they would be willing to go and do anything that you would ask them to do or call them to do. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. May that be the heartbeat of every young person, Lord, every young adult, every middle-aged, and senior saint. Lord, help us never to get to the place and time in our life where we would not be willing to drastically change our life in order to answer the call of God upon our life. I pray for our missionaries, Lord. It'd be hypocritical for me to ask our church to pray for them and not pray for them. God, I pray, Lord, for their wives, their children. And Lord, help us to be faithful, both in financial and prayer support, as we, Lord, seek to win the world to Jesus Christ. We pray these things in your precious, lovely name.